Please turn in your Bibles to the 19th chapter of Exodus. The 19th chapter of Exodus, we'll be reading verses 7 through 25. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. The word of the Lord.
Our next reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, 18 through 24. Hebrews 12. 18 through 24, which brings to memory the Exodus 19 passage, which was read. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 18. "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." And then let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 46. Luke 23, 44 through 46. This is the scene at the cross. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for these words that your Spirit has inspired to be written in this, your book. We thank you that we have a valid and perfect record of your revelation of yourself in the events, the prophecies, the types, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, but especially in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you'll speak to us. May his voice be heard in the preaching today. Amen. Okay, I have a question for you. Are you a Marcionite? Are you a Marcionite? Now, that's not a person who believes in Martians. There was a guy named Marcion, M-A-R-C-I-O-N. He was a teacher in Rome around the year 140 A.D. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Savior sent by God, and that Paul of Tarsus was his chief apostle. But Marcion rejected the Hebrew Bible and rejected the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel. Marcion believed that the wrathful Hebrew God was a separate and lower deity than the all-forgiving God of the New Testament. Marcion's canon, that is, a canon is a list of the books of the Bible, the inspired books. Marcion's canon consisted of 11 books, just 11. A gospel consisting of 10 sections that later appeared in the Gospel of Luke, and 10 only of Paul's epistles. All other epistles, James, Peter, so forth, and the other Gospels, and the 27 books of the canon are not in Marcion's list or canon. Paul's epistles enjoy a prominent position in the Marcionite canon, since Paul is credited with correctly transmitting the universality of Jesus' message. I hope you are not Marcionites. And yet we can have questions and doubts about the God who was revealed to us in the Old Testament, particularly in Exodus 19. And these questions can lead us toward a kind of practical Marcionite or Marcionism. Practical Marcionism will keep us from the really knowing God. If we reject the Old Testament, we won't really know God as he really is. And it will also keep us from telling people the good news of salvation. Marcionite good news is the message that God is okay. God is cool. God is easy. No problem. In Marcionite salvation, the question is, salvation from what? Maybe bad life habits, maybe unhappiness, maybe drugs or drink or gambling. But what about nice people who don't seem to have those serious life issues? They don't need salvation. do they? No. No, no, no. 1,000 times no, friends. People need to be saved from a very dangerous God. Salvation from God is the need of every human descendant of Adam. We need to be saved from God. So let's look at that. In Exodus 19, we see a dangerous meeting with a dangerous God. Verse 7, so Moses came and called the elders of the people there before Mount Sinai. They've gathered there and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. Verse 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. They didn't really get it when they answered that way. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord, but not so fast. Verse 9, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud. Now, I've told you before that when God comes, it is a scary event. It is a frightening, a terrifying event. When God comes down, in all the instances, almost all the instances of the Bible, it is a terrifying event. And God said, behold, look, I am coming to you that the people may hear when I speak to you and may also believe you forever. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, now look, Moses told the Lord what the people said. The people said, we'll do it, no problem. And what's God's response? He says, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. It's going to take a while to get ready to meet with God, people. You got to consecrate yourself today and tomorrow, and you got to wash your garments in verse 11 and be ready for the third day. It takes 3 days to get ready to meet with God. Don't think it's so easy. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And there's more. Verse 12, don't get too close and don't touch the mountain. Verse 12, you shall set limits for all the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. And that's not a maybe. In the Hebrew, I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I can look it up. In the Hebrew, that's called a kal, infinitive absolute, followed by a nifal imperative. You can look it up if you want to. What it means is, dying, they will die. They touch the mountain. Dying, they will die, absolutely dying. Verse 13, no hand shall touch him. If the person dies, you don't touch that person. That person has now become contaminated, like they're radioactive or something. Don't touch the person who died when they touched the mountain, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whatever beast or man, he shall not live. Beast or man, he shall not live. And there's another cal infinitive followed by a nifal imperative, which means they shall most certainly be shot through with an arrow or stoned. So it's a serious situation. And then God says to Moses, when the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. You got to wait for that trumpet. Verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. And they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready. And that's a plural imperative. Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So what he's saying to the guys is, don't even think about it, guys. Don't even think about it. Verse 16, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. This is a very, very, very solemn meeting. Nothing casual about it. Nothing casual about it. Verse 17, then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. I'll bet they weren't strolling over to the mountain half asleep. I'll bet they were alert. Verse 18, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. Earthquakes. Verse 19, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Increasing volume of this trumpet blast. Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder. Verse 20, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So God comes down, Moses goes up, and what happens next? What happens next? You've got to see how this keeps happening. Verse 21, the Lord says to Moses, Moses goes up, and the Lord, instead of dealing with Moses or giving him some instructions, the Lord says, wait a minute. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through the Lord to look, and many of them perish. I guess the Lord saw that some of these stupid Israelites are getting close, and maybe a couple of them are trying to get a look at God. And he says, go back down and warn them not to look. Because if they do, they'll perish. This is dangerous, isn't it? Verse 22, God says, also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to the mountain, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. He says, in effect, Moses is saying, I'm not sure the priests can handle this. Please don't make the priests come up. They'll get destroyed. Verse 24, and the Lord said, okay, go down and come up bringing Aaron with you. Just one priest. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. So you see this up and down, back and forth. Make sure the people don't get close or touch it or do anything, or the Lord will consume them. He'll break out and destroy them. It's a serious, dangerous meeting with God. We see the same kind of thing prophesied in the prophets later on in Israel's history. In Zephaniah, we see very similar words, pictures, events happening. In Zephaniah 1, I've got it here, 14 through 18. Here it says, the great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation. And then these words, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of a trumpet blast and battle cry. See, that's what happens when God comes in judgment. This transcendent God, this completely otherness of God, without sin and completely intolerant of sin, is depicted here for us in very stark terms. And we better not forget it. But now let's move on for a moment to another meeting with God. The one I read from Hebrews chapter 12. The joyful assembly, not at Mount Sinai this time, but on Mount Zion. This is written to the Christian church. Hebrews 12. And here's what the writer says. For you have not come to what may be touched by accident or presumption. A blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. That's not the mountain you've come to. verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, a big party and a feast, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, same God, you see, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, righteous people, perfect people, unlike these Israelites who couldn't touch the mountain. And you come to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator. Moses was a mediator then, wasn't he? But now we've got a different mediator. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, who was slain by his brother Cain, the blood of Abel cried out from the ground in Genesis 4 for vengeance, for wrath, for justice. But now this blood of Jesus cries out, and it's better. It cries out for mercy for sinners like you and me. And we see another one of these prophets in Ezekiel 34. Here's a prophecy. I want you to hear these words too. It kind of combines Mount Sinai and looks forward to Mount Zion. Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself, God says, will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, day of judgment. And I will bring them out. That's what God says in Ezekiel. And in verse 16 of that chapter, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice. That's beautiful. God seeks. Instead of coming down to destroy, God comes down to seek, to save, to gather his lost sheep. But how do we get from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, the joyful assembly of the firstborn? How do we get there? And the answer is, it has to be, the only answer, Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary, another meeting between God and man. We read about that in Luke, but we're going to see it here in Matthew chapter 27 as well. Because there on Mount Calvary, there was darkness and gloom and despair and judgment that came down as God came down. It says in verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Luke says, it was from the sixth hour to the ninth hour that darkness was over the whole land, and the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What was that curtain for? It was to separate sinful human beings from a holy God so that they wouldn't go in and touch the footstool of that holy God represented at the Ark of the Covenant, and they would die. And now it's torn in two from top to bottom because on Mount Calvary, God came down and God met man in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus now called out with a loud voice in verse 46 of Luke 23. Jesus called out with a loud voice. There was a loud voice on Mount Sinai, but now the loud voice is the Son of God. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was no whisper. And having said this, he breathed his last. It's the same God, friends. We are not Marcionites. Don't be a Marcionite. It's the same God as Exodus 19. Even in Exodus 19, God was condescending to meet with Moses as mediator to provide a way for sinners to draw near, but to really bring us near God, Christ's blood had to be shed. The fury of the wrath of the holy God of Israel had to fall. The darkness and the gloom had to be absorbed. And it was on Jesus Christ. And so we sing, as we often do here, let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched, hear it, Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with His blood. He has brought us nigh to God, near to God, in Mount Zion. The God of Exodus 19 came down. God, the eternal Son, came down and suffered the justice of God against sin for sinners. So, listen to this. You need to remember this phrase. We are saved from God. That's what we need to be saved from, friends. Not from our bad habits, or not from unhappiness or something. We need to be saved from God. And we are saved from God by God, through Mount Calvary. And because of this, when we get together here on Sundays, in the name of Jesus Christ, I greet you. Did you notice that? In the name of Jesus Christ, I greet you. And I don't say, don't touch, don't come near, you better stay away. You better watch yourself, you better go wash and clean. I don't say that, do I? I say grace to you and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because through Him we have access to the Holy of Holies. And we join with the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven as we gather here. And to God the Judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, we celebrate the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus' blood cries out for everyone who believes. It cries out, forgiven, welcome, grace, mercy, and peace to you. We need to be saved from God, and we need to tell people the truth about the God who they need to be saved from as well, and who they need to be saved by, Jesus Christ. Will you tell them? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have a great revelation of Your glory in Your Word, but especially in the work of Jesus Christ, who came down to save us poor, wretched, miserable sinners, who deserved to be shot through and stoned and cursed forever and thrown into hell and punished forever. But Christ endured for us, so we are welcome and free and clean, and we are the righteous souls made perfect. We glory in You, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.